This is almost like a part two from last week, so if you want to go home and listen to it online and come back, you can do that. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which is one of the verses we ended with, and this is, again, dealing with together, let's do it God's way. And we're going to continue 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at how great God is, and that he put us in the family to work together. And it's a lot easier to do it God's way and to do it together than it is to be me, 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 me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, or the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort. And that's not Southern comfort. The God of all comfort. That's encouragement. So, this God, who happens to be our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, and the God of all encouragement, who comforts or encourages us in our tribulation. It's the lipsis, it's mental pressure, but also physical pressure is involved in all of that. So, just all affliction. This Father of compassion, this God of encouragement, who encourages us in all our affliction. All our affliction. So then we're able to comfort or encourage them that are also afflicted, that are in trouble. How? By the comfort or the encouragement wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So this is the ultimate pay it forward type thing. God encourages us. God comforts us. The God of compassion helps us in afflictions. And then we can help others by the same way we're helped. So that's a good place to start. So look at Hebrews 13. The God of all comfort. So that's one verse that we covered last week, and then we got one more here from last week that we'll cover. Hebrews 13 is another very... I love it when the Word of God interprets itself right where it's written. Hebrews 13:6 tells us, so that we may boldly, confidently, clearly, openly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. And of course, David wrote this in the Psalms, and he had all kinds of problems with men. But the Lord is my helper. Now, if the Lord is our helper, go to Job, the end of the book of Job. We'll be back in Hebrews in a little bit, but we've got to take a sidetrack to Job here. Because in Job, we got somebody who's trying to do it without God's help. And so God's going to call him on it. And this, many times, is where we find ourselves. When we come to afflictions or troubles or things, we start figuring it all out ourselves. And here's Job in a situation where he's lost pretty much everything. I mean, Social Security imploded. It's just life's terrible for him, you know. I could have a couple of remarks, but I won't, because recording. But basically, things are not going very well for Job at this moment. He's lost children. He's lost his land. He's lost his property. They foreclosed on his house and took his dog. I mean, it's just terrible, everything that's going on right now. So he has friends come over, and they're having a massive discussion day in and day out, and they're going absolutely nowhere, and Job is getting a bigger head and is doing it all himself. And finally, God intervenes. So in Job 38, verse 1, because many times we forget that the Lord is our helper, and if we attach ourselves to the Lord, things would be better. Job 38. And, you know, one of the good things about the Lord being our helper is he can help. He's really good at it. He just doesn't make campaign promises. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, excuse me, but who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? I know many times we have dealt with people who, you know, think they know it all and are, you know, all these type of things. But this is God talking to Job. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? All right, get dressed, gird up your loins like a man, and I'm going to talk to you. I will demand some answers out of you. That's what God is saying to him. All right,
get dressed, put your clothes on, come talk to me. I got a couple things I want to talk to you about. You think you got all the answers? I got a couple questions for you, Job. Because you forgot that I'm your helper. And there's the key. We got to continue to keep God in the picture. And Job wasn't doing that here. So God calls him out. All right, Job, question number one, verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Can anybody answer that question? I don't even think Google can answer it properly. Who has laid the measures thereon? If thou knowest, who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Who laid the cornerstone thereof? So he's just asking simple questions. Were you there when I put the whole earth together and had it all work properly together? And Job was like, what do you say? You don't say anything in a situation like that. Hi, Sarah. That's fine. We're glad you're here. We're looking at Job, and we're seeing that God's our helper. And Dave's got a Bible. You can follow along with Dave there if you want. Job is trying to figure life out by himself. And God says, okay, if you think you're so smart, I got some questions for you. So we're going to jump down to Job 38 to verse 25. And in verse 25, we read Job 38:25. He's going to start talking to him about the weather. So in Job 38:25, who has divided a water course for the overflowing of the waters? How many of you have dug trenches and have all these different things so water is distributed evenly? Or a way for the thunderbolt is how that goes. You know, have you figured out how to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness, where there isn't anybody? To satisfy the desolate and waste ground and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Do you know how it rains and snows and how we keep everything balanced properly on the earth so you can get food? Verse 28, has the rain a father? Is there a god that just takes care of rain? You know, one little, you know, pagan god or something? Or who has begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb come the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who has gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. So basically he's saying, look, Job, explain to me the weather. We had a pilot friend here who flew helicopters, and he said the weather in Colorado Springs is right 30% of the time. But, you know, if you're going to fly helicopters, you better make sure that it's right more than that. So I don't know how many of you can have a job where you're right 30% of the time. I mean, dispensing medicine, you can just 30% of the time hit it to the right person. That'd be great. No, okay. So basically, he's saying, here's the weather. Give me some answers on how all this works. And Job couldn't answer him. Now he's going to take him to space. Verse 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influence of Pleiades? Or loose the bands of Orion? Now, this is interesting because Pleiades comes up in the springtime and Orion is in the fall. So he's saying, okay, from the spring to the fall, give me the celestial meaning of what's going on with the zodiac. Would you, Job? Can you explain that to me? Canst thou bring forth Nazaroth in the season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his suns? Arcturus is a cluster of stars together. That's what the suns, what it means. You know, it's the brightest of them in that little constellation. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? So he's just asking them simple questions. And Job is going, okay. Now we'll go to chapter 39. The first verse. Now he's going to say, okay, Job, you don't have the weather, right? You don't have outer space, right? How about animals? Know thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth, or canst thou mark when the hinds do calf? And now all 39 is he's firing them up on about animals. Okay, Job, let's check your husbandry skills. But then we go to chapter 40. And in chapter 40, verse 1, moreover, the Lord is just continuing chapter after chapter to hammer him, to kind of get him to realize the Lord is his helper. The Lord has lots of knowledge, lots of wisdom, lots of help. So we get to Job 40, verse 1. And we read, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contends with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproves God, let him answer it. You're reproving God. Is that a good thing to do? No. I'm sorry, God, but you don't know what you're talking about. I agree. So That's the point. You're contending with the Almighty, and you're trying to instruct and reprove God. And finally, Job came to his senses. In verse 4, he said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth." In other words, I put my foot in my mouth way too much. You know a lot more than me. I will. That's all I'm going to talk. I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm going to put my hand over my mouth and let you help me. Like he wants to. Then answered the Lord unto Job by the whirlwind. All right, act like a man again. I'm not done with you yet. Gird up thy loins like a man. I'll demand of thee and declare unto thee. And he just continues to point out other things that Job doesn't have all the answers for. And finally, we get to chapter 42. After Job decided the best thing for him to do is to shut up, which many times is the best thing for mankind. Okay, God, you've got it. You've got the direction. You got where we're supposed to be, what's supposed to happen. I'm going to allow it just to work with my helper. 42:1, then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that thou canst do everything." That's very smart, Job. "I'm realizing, God, you know a lot more than I thought you did, and that no thought even can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak." Oop, there she goes. "And I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the eye, and now my eye has seen you. Wherefore I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes, I will shut up, I will keep quiet, I will let you help." And that's mankind. All right, now go back to Hebrews 4. And in Hebrews 4, God has made it pretty easy to be our helper. A familiar scripture, Hebrews 4:16. He says, "I have an open door policy. You can come talk to me anytime." That is a God of compassion. That is a God that, you know, cares about his people. You know, he even gave us the keys of the executive washrooms. Hebrews 4:16. "Let us therefore come boldly with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Or the Greek reads, "to receive mercy and find grace for timely help." You know, it's nothing like, "Oh, I could have helped." No, timely help. God's there with timely help. You know, "I need this help now. I don't need it a year from now or a month from now. We need, you know, my car's out of gas. I need help now," type thing. All right, so God is there with timely help because he's the Father of all compassion. So we can go to 2 Corinthians 10. So if God is available, but God doesn't overstep free will. Many times God sits there with the answer and says, "I'm your helper. I know what you need. Say, Joe, you know, how about this? How about that?" But God won't overstep free will. 2 Corinthians 10 is a great verse that tells us exactly what we unfortunately do too many times. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "Casting down imaginations," or imaginations is reasonings, and "casting down" is the word for demolishing. Demolishing human reasoning and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought or every kind of thinking to the obedience of Christ. Every kind of thinking should go to the obedience of Christ. Job was reminded that, "Excuse me, but I kind of know a few things as God, after I put it all together." And when we find ourselves not having our helper in the equation, we got to catch that kind of thinking and demolish it. Bring it into captivity. Go, "No, I think God's got something bigger, better, faster, quicker, and what's right than what I can do." In fact, Romans 11, he encourages us not to rely on our own intellect. In fact, Romans 11, in two verses here, he says the same thing. Romans 11:25. That's the first spot. Romans 11:25, we read, "But I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant." I love it when I read that, because that means God doesn't want us stupid about something, which means he's got to tell us. And specifically, here it's about the mystery. And we'll talk about what that is in a moment.
God wants us not to be ignorant of the mystery because we could be wise in our own conceits. In other words, we can start relying on our own ability rather than realizing it's the mystery, the family of God. We're not in this by ourselves. We can't figure it all out by ourselves. We've got God and we've got the family, so he doesn't want us ignorant. In fact, that's what Israel did. That blindness or hardness in part happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. If you look at 12:16, Romans 12:16 says the same thing. Be of the same mind one towards another. Think the same thing. Mind not lofty things, but this condescend to men of low estates is basically to accommodate yourself and the humble ways. You know, accommodate, change yourself to the humble ways. Don't rely on your own intellect. Be not wise in your own conceits. So, again, thinking, because that's where it's all at. What's our thinking patterns? Where are we going with our thinking patterns? Are we doing it all ourselves, or is God's our helper? We have a body. Go to Ephesians 3. Don't rely on your own intellect, because even the greatest intellect people, Job was pretty smart. God sure called him on the line about a lot of different things. So, Ephesians 3 tells us, Romans told us not to be ignorant about the mystery. Romans 3:3 says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Ephesians 3:3. He made known the information regarding the mystery, so we don't have to be ignorant. And by the way, I wrote a little bit about it in a few words, whereby now, when you read what we're about to read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, which in past administration was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. God doesn't want us to be ignorant of this because it's a family. It's Jews and Gentiles who are all part of one big happy family now. They are all joint heirs, joint partakers, joint members, all in Christ Jesus, and the Pope's the head. Now, wait a minute. Ephesians 1 tells us something different than that. We've been going through the history of the Christian church, and basically the guy in Rome decided to go out and talk to Attila the Hun and kept him from going and destroying Jerusalem. So they thought, hey, we like this guy. Same thing happened 100 years later with another pope, that here comes another one. I think it's the Saxons. Could have been the Boston Celtics, but it was these different people. They kept coming in, and the Pope would go out and meet with them, and so he became very, very powerful. That's how he became the vicar of Christ. Had absolutely nothing to do with Christ, but it had everything to do with, he was keeping the town safe. Of course, they did get ransacked later in the late 400s. But anyway, Ephesians 1:22 tells us who's the head of the outfit. Yeah, 1:22. And has put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is the head of the body, not any man on earth today. Christ is the head, and he's the one who fills all things and all people. So we should work with God, since he's our helper. We should work with Christ, since he's the head of the body. We should work with each other for the mutual benefit of everybody. No one is better than anybody else in the body. We just have different functions. Here, 1 Corinthians 12. A great reminder of this. God doesn't want us ignorant of the mystery of the one body, of Christ being the head of the one body, of God being our helper, of having direct access to God. 1 Corinthians, that we should think about what we're thinking about. Chapter 12, verse 18. But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as a joke. You just kind of arbitrarily put people in anywhere. No.
every one of them as it has pleased him. We all have a role in the body, and people are there as it has pleased God. But over time, experience, growth, thinking things, opportunities, all these other things happen, and life changes. You know, your role changes. Some of us who've hit 40 now, that role's a little different.
God, that's you.
That is, isn't it? Okay, so the point is that God, look at verse 25. God is to blame for some of us. Let's put it that way. Into what our roles are in the body. So, but then when you go against those, the way God set it up, who are you going against? So you're trying to do it yourself instead of God's way. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body. We're all equal in the body. No schism. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're all part of the body, and we're each individual members in particular. We all have a purpose for being a part of it. So, be a useful part in the body. Romans 14. God is our helper. God's willing to help. The door is open to discuss things with him. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is steak and potatoes. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness or justice. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but justice, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serve Christ is acceptable to God and approved of him. So then let us therefore follow or pursue after the things which make for peace and pursue the things wherewith one may edify one another. He doesn't want us to be, us against the world like Job thought. Pursue the things that make for peace. Just not all about food and drink, but justice, peace, joy, and the American way. Throw that in the old Superman days. Well, maybe not. How about, edifying one another? Peace. Look at, go back to verse 7 of this chapter, Romans 14:7. For none of us lives to himself. In case you thought you were the exception. For none of us lives to himself. No man dies to himself. But whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. So why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother or despise thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, you can't send your secretary or your spouse or your kid. Everybody's going to end up there themselves. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And you don't want to do a lot of stuttering like Job did. no, is the answer. So let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But here, judge this instead, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion, which is a stumbling obstacle, to fall in his brother's way. We all work together and move together. We don't set up, a brother or a sister to fail. So, two more places. James 1. Hebrews, James. So if you don't know what to do, here's another one verse that's very clear. James 1:5. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, well, God pointed out to Job that he didn't have a lot of wisdom. Job was a rather intelligent, very well, good business person. If you lack wisdom, then how about this? Let him ask of God. He gives to all men generously. without finding fault. He doesn't go, I told you this already. I told you this yesterday. I told you this last week. Would you just calm down? Because God knows what we're like. Without finding fault. And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he's going to receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you don't think God will answer your prayer, if you don't think God cares about you, if you don't think you amount to anything, if you think God's mad at you, or you're condemning yourself because you did something you weren't supposed to do, you'll be a double, you know, you don't think, you won't get the answer will be there, but we won't believe it. We'll be unstable, we'll be like a wave. We'll be somewhere in the water going, help me, God. God's going, I already did. I'm still here. Go ahead, try this. I told you, he doesn't find fault. He's a generous, kind, compassionate, comforting, encouraging God. For all of us, he's an individual God. And that's what's so great about it. Because each of us are individuals in the body of Christ. We all don't have our birthdays yesterday. Right, Olivia? Right. Okay, good. Thanks. All right. Right. Hebrews 4. Back to Hebrews 4. So ask God. That's a novel thing. Trust God. Hebrews 4, 9. There remains, therefore, a sabbatical rest to the people of God. That's the rest it's talking about there. For he that has entered into God's rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And from the context, it talks about God worked 6 days and took the seventh day off so he could watch football. But since football season's over with, we know there's hope because pitchers and catchers report this week. So, verse 11, certain people will understand that one. Right, exactly. So, because of that, verse 11, let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. That labor, you know, that's an oxymoron there. Really, it's put out a diligent effort to seize that rest that's available. Lest any man fall after the same example of disobedience, because the Word of God is quick and powerful. The Word of God's available and all of that. So, rest is needed. The definition to rest is basically to cease or to stop. So, cease, mentally going everywhere. Stop letting the world try and send you all the place, or your children, and all those type of things. And get that sabbatical rest. God worked 6 days, took the day off, continued on. There's times that we just need to rest. And God will help us with the rest, because we need it. Right?
Right.
Okay, there it is. So, your husband runs off to the Bahamas to fish for his rest. That's his sabbatical leave. But we can, you know, there remains a rest. That rest is available. Ceasing from your own works. Right? We can get to our own rest. Just like God did. There's a reason why God in the Old Testament said, 6 days work, take the seventh day off. Because the human body needs it. That's why he invented golf, right? Something like that. Okay. So, with that, we go to Ephesians 5 to close. Rest is available today. It's a sabbatical type rest. It's taking that time off from life, and then, but you got to diligently make sure you do that. So we close in Ephesians 5. Because it's one body, we're all part of it, we all work together, we don't want to rely on our own intellect, because that doesn't get anything accomplished. Ephesians 5:2. Well, we'll start at 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. So what do? Well, we walk in love. How? As Christ also hath loved us, and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. So, in light of life, and not trying to figure it out ourselves, walk in love. Go to verse 8. Verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness. That's that, you know, that mental darkness that we have there that we got to fight in trying to demolish that human logic. But now, you are light in the Lord. So then, walk as children of light.
walk in love, walk as children of light. And verse 15 tells us that you walk circumspectly or accurately, not as a fool, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. They were evil in the first century. They're probably not evil now. Redeeming the time. You know, like staying up all night playing video games. That's a good way to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. Wherefore, don't be stupid, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And that's what it comes down to. Understand what the will of the Lord is for you. Do the best you can today with it in light of not doing it by yourself. God is your helper, and in light of edifying yourself and the body. So, Father, thank you for your word and for us continuing to trust you and your guidance in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.